Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, just your grace giving us this gift in Christ. We thank you that he came. We thank you for the promise we have in the word that he's coming again. And I pray that tonight we would understand from the word exactly why he came, what his point was, the purpose behind it, what your marvelous plan of love was all about, and what that meant, what he endured, and why he did it. I pray that we would get answers to all of that, and that it would just focus our hearts on all of that so that we can worship and celebrate in ways that please you tonight, tomorrow, through the week, and into the new year. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we wrap up our Advent series, I want to just come down on the floor a little bit and see if there's anybody willing to give some input on this question. But what brings you pleasure during Christmas time? Would anybody be willing to say, hey, I got an answer for that. What brings you pleasure during Christmas time? Linda?
Being with family.
Being with family. Absolutely. Brings so many people pleasure. Being together with family. Great answer. Nancy?
Giving.
Giving. Absolutely. So it's more blessed to give than receive, the scripture says, and she says it gives her joy to give and see their joy on their face when they receive. Absolutely. Excellent answer. What else brings you joy? Ernie?
Coming
to church brings you joy on Christmas Day, Christmas time. Excellent, excellent answer. Anything else? Jan? Okay, so the lights. We like all the decorations. They give joy, pleasure, and then celebrating Christ's birth. Excellent. What brings you pleasure? Richard?
I say this suggests, but candy cane.
Candy cane, what? Pie?
From Baker Square.
Candy cane pie from Baker Square? Finally. All my answers I wrote down were leaning towards that, and I'm like, oh, they're putting me to shame here, but Richard, we're on the same page, all right? So thank you for that. Candy cane pie from Baker Square brings him joy. Anybody else? Who said that? Robbie, what'd you say? Baking brings you joy? Okay, good. I saw another hand over here. Nancy? Yes. No. Right. Yes. Right. Yep. Tears of joy knowing what Jesus did. Mr. Poff, you have a
family.
Yes, especially having some distant family who are home. I know that brings you and your dear wife joy. Yes, Diana. Right. Yeah, so the spirit of Christmas, seeing people connecting together, all of that definitely brings you pleasure. Very, very appropriate answer there. Now, there's one thing I was really shocked to not hear, and I was almost just convinced Paul was going to share this one. Nobody said endless hours of Hallmark Christmas movies bring them pleasure. Isn't that a shocking reality there that nobody said that? I know that some of you do like those, but I said that I kind of connected with Richard. I certainly love some Christmas foods that are only out during Christmas, and I'm going home, and the eggnog from the Anderson Erickson Dairy Farm in Iowa is the best in the world, and I'm going to savor every drop of that starting tomorrow. There's a Christmas ham that comes from Webster City Custom Meats in Webster City, Iowa. That's absolutely to die for, and I can't wait to have that with my family tomorrow, Lord willing. I do like having my kids home. I cherish those times with them, making memories with them during Christmas and kind of reliving how it was when I was a kid and seeing their excitement, their joy. I will probably devour some of my sister's sugar cookies. I mean, she makes out of this world sugar cookies, and hopefully I'll not eat too many of those, but I will definitely indulge in some of that. I just enjoy being with my family and my friends and being able to celebrate Christmas together. That brings me pleasure. The reason I start out tonight asking you this question, and some of you weren't sharing, but I'm sure you have in your mind what brings you pleasure, is because the story of Christmas is connected to what pleased the Lord. Did you know that? The story of Christmas is connected to what pleased the Lord. And I want you to carefully follow along as we primarily focus on this one verse tonight. We'll see others, but we're really going to hone in on this one verse. It's Isaiah 53:10. Listen carefully. It says, "Yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a guilt offering, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days, and by his hand, the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished." And as you listen to me read that, as you look at the screen and reread that verse, I hope what goes through your mind is the same thing that went through my mind as I read this and studied this. I hope you're asking yourself this question: how could God the Father ever find pleasure in putting his son to grief? How could God the Father find pleasure in crushing his son severely? And the reason those questions come to my mind is because I know this room is full of people who are parents who really love their kids. And there are several parents that fear for their kids. Some fear that their kids will not get the quality education or the necessary opportunities in order for them to be successful. You may know some parents that are fearing that right now. Some fear that their kids may someday get into a severe accident. Maybe you've been there, maybe you are there. Maybe you know someone who fears that. Some fear that somebody will injure or harm their kids. I'm led to believe that most parents will do anything to protect their kids, no matter what age. In fact, I know there are some parents in our community that kept their kids home from school on Friday. Do you know why? Because there was a threat that circled on TikTok, and it was scary. And I know that there's teens that didn't want to stay home from school. They wanted to be there with their friends the last day and do all the hoopla and celebrations and all that. And they roll their eyes at their parents and they say, "Oh, they're just helicopter parents." But the fact is, parents just want their kids to be safe. I have the privilege of taking my kids to school nearly every single day. And nearly every single day, I'm able to pray together with my kids. And here's something I pray all the time with them: God, if it be your will, would you please keep them free from injury or harm? Lord, if it would be your will, would you please keep them free from sickness and disease? Why do I pray things like that? Because I love my kids. I would find no pleasure in either of my kids being put to grief. I would find no pleasure in either of my kids being crushed severely. And so we return back to this verse, Isaiah 53:10, and we ask ourselves, what would it be inside of God that would be so overwhelmingly powerful that it would actually move him to find pleasure and putting his son to grief. To one day find pleasure in crushing that baby in the manger severely. What is it in God that moved him to do that? Listen to this answer very carefully. It's his love. His love. His amazing, unfailing, unending, redeeming love moved him to do this. And you say, well, how do you know for sure, Pastor? Well, I don't want to be simple, but the Bible says so. That's how I know. The most well-known verse in the Bible is the story of Christmas. You know this. Maybe you've memorized it. It's John 3:16. Listen to this. The story of Christmas, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Friend, I know you may be so familiar with this verse, but I just really want you to look at it and let it sink in. Let these words, for God so loved the world that he would be moved to do something incredibly radical that doesn't make sense to any parent. For God, verse 16, saw an absolutely messy world. For God looked at the iniquities and the sins and the transgressions in our hearts. For God saw us completely broken inside and separated from him. For God saw us in this inescapable dilemma. And he knew there was nothing that we could do to fix this mess that we've made with the good things he's given us. He knew there's nothing that we could do to save ourselves from the penalty of sin. And so for God, who was so full of compassion, grace, and mercy, who was not willing that any one of us should perish, not wanting us to remain separated from him forever, God took action. He so loved the world, here's what he did. He gave his only son. And when you think of John 3:16 in light of Isaiah 53:10, in essence it's saying, for God so loved the world that he crushed his son severely. You see, friends, all the sufferings that Jesus went through on this earth, don't think that's what pleased the Father. Here's what pleased the Father. All that resulted from all his sufferings is what pleased the Father. And that's why it's important for us this evening to focus on God's marvelous plan of love during Christmas. His love, friends, it's an incredible gift. Not one of us in this room deserves his love. There's nothing that any of us here could have done or can still do to earn his love. For God so loved the world in this way, he willingly gave his one and only son up to go through unimaginable suffering for us all. Why did he do it? He did it in order to give the free gift of eternal life to all who believe. And that's why it's so fitting for us to focus on God's marvelous plan of love tonight, church. And the reason I say that is because I am fully aware that next week you may encounter a problematic relationship. And you may, in that encounter with whoever it is that you and them, that you just don't see eye to eye, you don't get along, you can't spend much time together. You may be in that kind of a problematic relationship next week and starting to doubt God's love for you. Starting to wonder, God, why are you bringing this person into my life? Do you not know that he or she has hurt me worse than anybody on this earth? Why? Do you love me? We may encounter a challenging situation next year, next month. Who knows? One of my pastor friends just came down today with sickness, not doing well. And in those moments when we encounter difficult situations, it's easy to be like, God, why are you allowing me to go through this physical pain, this suffering? Do you love me? We may be in a difficult place next year. We don't know what the future holds. And in that difficult place, we may be wondering, God, do you still love me? It might be your job next year. Maybe your hours are right now being cut. Maybe there's talk they're going to let you go. You don't know what the future holds. When you're in those difficult places, it's easy to wonder, does God still love you? That's why it's important to focus in on this subject so that you can have that knowledge and have that assurance for these difficult moments. I realize what we've been going through in our country has been rough on everybody. And there's a lot of Christians this past year wondering, God, where are you? Have you forgot about us? Because it seems like everywhere we look, evil and wickedness is prevailing. And we're wondering, what is God up to? How long is this going to be? And so if you ever have doubts, or if you're questioning, or if you're wondering if God loves you, friend, I hope tonight that you leave here thinking about his son lying in a manger and being assured, yes. He loves me. Let's read John 3:16 in a personalized way. We'll read this together as a church. You see there's blanks on the screen. While you're reading this, I want you to insert your first name. You understand what I'm saying? Let's read this together, church. John 3:16. For God so loved Mike that he gave his only son, so that if Mike believes in him, Mike shall not perish, but Mike shall have eternal life. If you're questioning or doubting or wondering if God loves you, run to John 3:16 and read it that way. Go to Isaiah 53:10 and look at what it says. It says it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Why? Because he loves you. It's a will of the Lord for his son to physically suffer on this earth. And if you think about him being born on this earth and lying in the manger, even that very moment marked the beginning of his suffering. And you say, well, how can you say that, Pastor? He was just a little babe. He is the holy Son of God living in a sin-cursed earth around sin-cursed people. That was a moment that began his suffering. But he certainly suffered on the cross, and we can't forget that. And Isaiah 53:10 is packaged in the prophecies about what he would go through on the cross. Isaiah 53:5 says that he'd be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. It goes on and says he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he didn't sin. He didn't open up his mouth. It was the will of the Lord to put him to grief. In other words, it was the Father's will, friends, for him to emotionally suffer on the cross. And Isaiah 53 predicts that, and it came true. He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief as a one from whom men hide their faces. The very next verse tells us that he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows on the cross. And while he hung on that cross doing just that, the earth went dark. Darkness on the earth for 3 hours. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour. Why? Because God the Father turned his back on his son as he bore our sins. And that troubled Christ more than anything. He went through so much emotional suffering in that moment to the point where he cried out and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So friend, if you find yourself ever next week, next month, next year, sometime doubting whether God loves you, think about his son hanging on the cross and ask yourself this question. If God would do the unthinkable and give up his only son to severe suffering and death for me, then does it make sense for me to question if he's gonna faithfully love me? Does it make sense for me to wonder if he's going to supply every need of mine? And in fact, that's the very question that later on the Apostle Paul asked himself in Romans 8:32. He said, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Paul's point with this question was this: since the Father already turned his back on his son as he hung on the cross bearing our sins, then we can be confident that the Father will never turn his back on us. Amen? Ever. And since his Father did all that to his son on our behalf, we can be confident the Father will meet every single one of our needs. And be careful with Romans 8:32, because a lot of times people will use this in a wrong way and they'll think, well, if that verse is in the Bible, it's true. Yes. Well, then that means tomorrow under the tree, everything I want is going to be packaged up nicely with a pretty bow on top then, right? That's not what the verse is promising. We tend to force our wants into our needs, but God knows what we need. He knows what's best for us, and he promises us right here, he will always provide for us what he knows is best for us. He will meet every single one of our needs. So friends, if you're ever confused, troubled about whatever it may be that God is allowed into your life this past year, or next week, or next month, or next year, open your Bible to Romans 8:32 and remind yourself of this truth. Say something like this: since God gave his own son up for me, will he not also graciously give me everything that he knows that is best for me? And sometimes that includes pain and hardships and difficulties, trials, etc. If you're troubled about what God's allowed in your life, again, open your Bible up to a verse like Isaiah 53:10. Be reminded it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He's put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. See, this verse tells us God's marvelous plan for sending his son. Jesus had to come. That was God's plan of love. This little baby lying in the manger on that very first Christmas day, friends, was destined to die. Understand that. Why? Because God knew we needed a Savior. He knew that the penalty for our sin is death. He knew that we can't save ourselves, and so God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, he sent his son. Why? To save his people from their sins. He sent his son in order to be, as it says here in this verse, a guilt offering. And in order for Christ to be a guilt offering, friends, that meant that he had to live on this earth in a holy way. He had to be pure with all his thoughts, with all his motives, with all his words, with all his actions. He had to be pure, spotless, in order to be the Lamb of God. He had to become obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. And the very next verse in Isaiah 53 says that he had to bear our iniquities in his body on the tree. Jesus had to shed his blood. Why? Because all that was completely necessary in order to satisfy his Father's wrath for your sin and for mine. He had to shed his blood so that you and I could be forgiven and cleansed from our sin. Shed his blood and die so that you and I could be accepted by God and adopted into his family. For as many as believe in him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. He had to die in order for that to happen. He had to shed his blood so that you and I could receive that greatest gift that anyone could ever receive, this eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It was the Lord's pleasure to make him our guilt offering and crush him severely in order to give eternal life to all who believe in him. This is what makes Christmas so special. Understand that. Nancy touched on this in one of her testimonies about what brings her pleasure. Jesus came and he died so that you and I could live. That's what makes Christmas so special. And friends, I don't know about you, but I'm glad Isaiah 53 doesn't end with verse 8, where it says he was cut off from the land of the living. I'm glad Isaiah 53 doesn't end in verse 9, where they made his grave with the wicked. I'm pleased what we read already in Isaiah 53:10, which assures us he didn't stay dead. He arose on the third day. And because of his resurrection, it says right there in verse 10 that he shall see his offspring. Do you know what that means? It means he shall see all the children of God who believe in him. They will all stand before him face to face one day. Verse 10 goes on and says, he shall prolong his days, meaning once he arose from the dead, he will forever live as the Son of God. Never to die again. It says there, the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, meaning because of all that he did for us, he will be blessed forever because he was obedient to God's marvelous plan of love. And so as I wrap this all up tonight, I must ask you, friends, are you a recipient of God's love? Another way to ask that, have you believed in Christ? Is he your Savior? Is your only hope found in Jesus' blood and righteousness? Would you say this evening, you are at peace with God? You're confident of that. And friend, as you're thinking through these questions I'm asking you, if you don't know how to answer them, or if any one of your answers is no or I don't know, I urge you tonight, Christmas Eve, put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're like, well, how do I do that? You can simply cry out to him something like this: God, I know I'm a sinner, and I desperately need to be saved. I believe that you sent your son on the cross. I believe he died for my sins. He was buried, rose again, and you can call out to him to be your Savior. And if you do that in faith tonight, God promises you in his word, he'll save you. You'll be a recipient of the greatest gift you can ever get, eternal life in Christ Jesus. If you need help with that, please see me before you leave, or see someone that you came with that goes to this church. We'd be more than thrilled to continue to share with you this wonderful gift. Now, for all of you who do know Christ as your Savior, you've put your faith and trust in him. I hope tonight that you realize whenever you're afraid, whenever you're confused, whenever you're discouraged, whenever you're struggling with whether or not God loves you, remember Romans 8:32. God so loved you that he did not even spare his own son, but he gave him up for you. And because of this, you can be confident that he'll never leave you in your time of need. He will take care of you all the way through 2021, and he'll take care of you all the way through 2022 and following. He'll never forsake you. And so, friend, if you know Christ, I plead with you, don't turn away from the one who loves you. Instead, keep running to him and treasuring his promises of his love for you, especially on Christmas Day. Father, thank you so much for giving us this blessed assurance of your marvelous plan of love. I pray for my friends that may not know Christ tonight. I pray that their eyes would be open and their hearts receptive. And I pray that tonight would be the night where they receive Jesus as their Savior. Please help them, Lord, to no longer fight this, but to submit and receive the greatest gift they could ever receive. For those of us who have received that, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love for us. Help us not to forsake you, to neglect your love, to run away from you, but help us turn and run to your word, your love letter to us, and cherish these precious promises, and to love you because you first loved us. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.